Wake up. Wake up, man. The Rams put one on the Niners yesterday. We got a lot of postmortem to get into. Welcome to the Krug Show meets the Plouse. Welcome to your Monday. Wake up!
Yeah, here we go. Monday, November 10th, and whatever Victory Monday is, today's the opposite of that. That was not good for the San Francisco 49ers, but welcome to everyone. It is great to have you here. Welcome on back. We cannot help but notice the audiences are even more engaged and rabid when things go wrong than when things go right, so we should have a very engaged audience today. Larry, good morning. I know you were down at Levi's. We were doing the watch party over here. Awful lot of frustration, and it felt like a lot of people kind of saw this one coming, and those worst fears were realized quickly. It was 21-0 within the blink of an eye, and it was all Rams early. It was a little bit of the Niners in the middle, and that was it. That was it. It was an awfully big gap between a really good football team and a team that just can't be good right now based on the situation that they are in and the way that they played yesterday. Everything that could go wrong kind of did go wrong. It was bad, Larry. Where do you want to start? Besides thanking our sponsors, let's thank everyone for being here and thank our sponsors, of course.
Yeah. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. December 7th, we'll have our meet and greet at Pig in a Pickle during the bye week. Stop
Wait,
by,
let me write this down. When is this, Larry? When is this?
It's Sunday, December 7th, Damon. It's going to be the week 14 bye week for the Niners. So we're going to gather. Corte Madera. We're going to gather at the bye week in Corte Madera. You know, I'm going to be there all day watching football. So it's just kind of an open house. Stop by anytime throughout the day. Say hi. Get some barbecue. Say hi to Damon and Mary. We may even have some. I'm trying to get Kev to dial up some Krug Show giveaways so we can give some things away. And we're just fired up. So we're excited during the holidays to, you know, go face to face with the fans and say hello and appreciate so many of the people that have turned, you know, our channel into just a monster. I mean, 2 million plus views a month, out of season, in season, even more than that. Just lots and lots of momentum. And so thanks. And it's also a way for me to thank my number one sponsor, which is Pig in a Pickle. they've been with me since the start. They're very loyal. And this is just a way to hopefully drive some people in the door. You know, restaurant businesses are tough. The margins are not great. And it's not an easy business. Damon's got great food. So, you know, it's that the food is the word of mouth that starts to spread.
And here's the thing. If you don't like me, this is another Damon entirely. So, you know, don't hold your dislike of me against another Damon who's got delicious barbecue to serve to you. That's all I'm telling everyone out there.
Well, you know what I love about Damon Stainbrook, the owner of Pig in a Pickle, like, you know, during the terrible fires we had a few years ago up in the North Bay Paradise, and these guys took time away from their regular business there in Corte Madera to make a bunch of food to serve the first responders, the firefighters, and do all that stuff pro bono just because they're in the community and they want to help out. And so, you know what? It's stuff like that, that it really makes me proud to be associated with Pig in a Pickle. So thank you to Pig in a Pickle. Join us on December 7th at Pig in a Pickle. We'll talk more about it a lot between now and then. But thanks to them. Also, thanks to 49er Football Season on the Krug Show is presented by Sleeper, fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. One-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, most importantly, Sleeper picks for fantasy. So use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. Also, thanks to Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles. The great Anthony Catania has been a fantastic sponsor of the Krug Show for years.
Anthony was in the watch party on Sunday. Anthony was hanging out with me and ours. So thank you very much, Anthony.
Oh, Anthony's a great dude, big Niner fan. And Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles, 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, along the Monterey Peninsula. He's at 831-521-5264. We should tell you that anybody who is a listener or watcher of the Krug Show, anybody who is a listener or watcher of the Plouse. You just go in there, say, hey, I know Larry. You can go in there and say, I know Damon. And they will give you free shipping on any, or you could call them up and say, I want to order this helmet from this team for my uncle, and I want it sent to Louisville, Kentucky, and he will pay the shipping to send that helmet to Louisville, Kentucky, between now and the holidays, for listeners and watchers of our content. So thank you to Anthony Catania. Great dude.
Thank you to Ike's of Ike's Sandwiches. Absolutely something delicious waiting for you today, every day of every week at Ike's. Hopefully there'll be one near you soon. There is only one Dubliner West portal. Get yourself to the Dubliner West portal. Indeed, it is a great place to watch Warriors games, Niner games, hang out with your friends. It's a great neighborhood bar, Dubliner West portal. Thanks very much indeed, like Larry said. I am also brought to you by Sleeper this year, so thanks to them. Man, I had Eddie Pinheiro undo my Sleeper parlay. I had him going over a field goal and a half, and as soon as the 49ers were down 21-0, I knew my parlay was in trouble, Larry. You're not going to be kicking field goals when you're chasing a score like that. And again, things just got out of hand right away, and I had a must list. Before the game started, I talked about, here are the musts. The musts that have to happen for the 49ers to come out on top today. And it's like they went out of their way to run themselves off my must list as fast as possible. I said, must have a huge day for CMC. Did not happen. Must have that front-running Kyle Shanahan formula. Grab a lead, sit on it, bleed clock. You gotta, you know, what you're ordering when you sit down today, I'll have the Shanahan. Give me that Shanahan special, the formula that works for him. Nothing even close came to happening in that regard. I said, you got to keep Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua. Yeah, pick your poison. Like, you can't have Stafford throwing all over you and a running game popping. So you're going to have to shut down one. They shut down neither. I said, you just simply cannot lose a turnover battle today, and you might even have to steal a possession. Neither of that happened. So, Larry, anything that could have gone into the formula to winning, the Niners literally did the opposite of it yesterday. That's the most disappointing execution of a bad game plan we've seen from this team in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I did a game day, here's what they need to do to pull it off. You know, and I acknowledged, I said, hey, you know, the Niners have a Herculean task in front of them, but this is what they got to do. And it was just a few things like that. You know, you had to win the turnover battle. They didn't. I said you had to be plus one or plus two. They were minus one. You had to play from ahead. You got to play from a lead. The Rams are death because of their D-line when you play from behind. Niners dug themselves a gigantic hole. Who wins in the middle of the field, I thought, had a huge say in this thing. And I thought Jones was still pretty good in the middle of the field, but obviously it wasn't enough. The offense had to possess the ball for a good chunk of time. I chose 36 minutes. They didn't get close to that. The Rams beat them in time of possession. You got to stop the Kyren Williams and the Rams rushing attack. Kyren averaged 6.5 yards a carry on the first drive, and they didn't really stop him. They needed a big play on offense or special teams. They really didn't get the – I mean, Sky Moore came really close, but not really, didn't get it. Watkins was a non-factor, didn't catch a ball. I said Jones has to get the ball out quickly to neutralize the rush. That did happen. I said they had to get Nate Landman blocked in the run game. That did not happen. He had double-digit tackles.
And he forced a big fumble.
Yep. I said you had to feed McCaffrey early and Robinson late and wear down the Rams' defense. I thought they did that, but not enough of it, obviously, and obviously the score dictated that. And then the last one was, and this was the one I was kind of hoping for, I said let's see the Niners use Nick Martin in the sub package as a pass rusher, as a delayed blitzer on some key third downs, because he does have 4 or 5 speed. And, you know, let's run him at the quarterback on some key downs. It's not that outlandish. It's not that crazy. Not only do we not get that, we got Nick Martin playing no snaps, inactive. And was he inactive or he might have been active?
I think they dressed him, but they didn't play him.
Yeah, but they played Luke Gifford, and Gifford got absolutely toasted. And it's like, come on, man. No, I get it. No, the people that are going to sit here and go, you don't know football. Gifford is a strong side backer. Martin is a weak side backer. You know what? In a sub package, you can fudge that. In a sub package, you can move guys around. You can design whatever you want to design, you know, in your sub package. You got a week to prepare. You got a week to practice it. And even so, are you telling me that Nick Martin, you know, can only play the weak side? He couldn't ever play the Mike. He could never play the strong side. I mean, please stop. Don't, you know, stop with that.
How about this?
Get your best players on the field.
Maybe he shouldn't have been drafted in the first place when the entire world said you reached for him three rounds before anybody said he might even be a football player. Maybe there was something to that. And man, you look at the lack of young players who are able to hit the field with this team having its injuries problems that it's having right now. It's a little bit of an indictment on this football team. Look, Kyle Shanahan, the coach, I think is, no one wants to hear us talk about we think he's good at it today, but I think we still both do. Kyle Shanahan, the coach, is completely undone by Kyle Shanahan, the general manager, and John Lynch, the general manager. The players that they got ain't playing enough. I mean, when you really think about what do you say we got here? Like, let's really, really look at it. The two best players that have arrived in this regime outside of George Kittle, who is sort of a one-off of draft success. But the two best players that they've added arrived at SFO. They had nothing to do with drafting or developing. They made the big trades for CMC and Trent Williams. They get all the credit in the world for that. And you know what? The single best free agent these guys have added is Mac Jones, and they get credit for that. This is the best free agent that they've added, I think, bar none. They get credit for Kittle. They get credit for Warner. They get no credit for Bosa. My mom could have made that draft pick. The rest of them, and I like Demo. I like Renardo Green. Everybody else is just a guy. Everybody. There isn't a single young player that is a cornerstone build-around player on this team through several drafts. And I hate to say that I don't know if Alfred Collins is going to be that guy. I don't know if Ricky Pearsall is going to be that guy. I don't want to crap on CJ West. We have not used his name yet this football season. He is unaffected. Bryce Huff, unfortunately, on a day you were really happy to get him back, Bryce Huff's name was not used yesterday. He was invisible.
Well, wait a second. Wait. The Niners had six hits on the quarterback. He had three of them. So well, I don't know about that. I think he was the only guy. I hear what you're saying. They didn't have enough. Although they had eight hits.
Yeah.
They had eight hits on the quarterback. He had three of the eight.
I would like to thank his three hits on a quarterback who literally didn't have to do much laundry after the game, whether they affected him. Matthew Stafford already started carving up that Thanksgiving turkey yesterday. He was just as comfortable as a quarterback could be in a pocket, looking way downfield for all of his options. He's going back to his first read. He's like, do I like this one, that one, that one? He was unaffected at all. That was the 49ers have a bend, don't break defense. Yesterday, they bent, they broke.
Well, they didn't, you know, I mean, well, I'm not going to go talk about this the rest of the year, but since we just had the trade deadline, they didn't get the help they needed. And, you know, you can sit there and be super positive. And there are people that were super positive about their inaction, okay, and their inactivity. They were right not to do anything. Okay. Well, then get ready for more of yesterday, because they have no ability to move the quarterback off the spot. And guess what? That ability to move the quarterback off the spot isn't determined by how many phone calls you made. It isn't determined by how many other trades you made. It's just simple. Do you have the dudes or not? And they don't. So we could sit there and come up with logical reasons for why they shouldn't have done it, didn't do it, couldn't do it, wouldn't do it, whatever. They needed help that they didn't get. And so, you know, I said it at the trade deadline with you and Sammy on that stream. As soon as the deadline came and went, I'm like, you know what? They get what they deserve. They get what they deserve. They had an obvious need. They didn't fill it. They decided to prioritize future years. Who knows what future years are going to bring? Who knows? We don't know. We have no idea. Robert Saleh could get a head coaching job. Trent Williams could retire. George Kittle could wind up hurt. You know, you don't know. We don't know what the future holds. All we know is that this year they were 6-3 with us, and yet that wasn't, they probably weren't a 6-3 type football team because the schedule's pretty easy, but the schedule's pretty favorable the rest of the year. So they didn't feel like this was their go year to get to the Super Bowl. And that's, I guess, okay. But You know what?
To me, Larry,
you have no way to move the quarterback, and Stafford's going to roast you, and all the good quarterbacks are going to roast you. So it's you know, and you have all these young. I mean, don't do it for me. Do it for you. You drafted all these young defensive backs. Jair Brown's young. Malik Mustafa's young. Renardo Green's young. Upton Stout's young. I actually think they're pretty good players, but nobody looks good if the quarterback can stand back there and survey the field and just hold the ball, pat the ball. You know, I mean, they have no ability to move the quarterback. They needed help. They didn't get it. This is what happens. I mean, it's like, it's as simple as that. I think I even said, hey, you know what? Get ready for the Rams to hang half a hundred on you. And they almost did.
Look, I think it also,
it's seven scoring or five scoring drives, or
as we're looking at a team that doesn't seem to have future players already exactly lined up, ready to go, the next generation of cornerstone Niners, not further investing in this year might have been the incredibly unsatisfying decision that they made, but maybe the prudent decision. I don't know. In order to know whether or not that was the right thing to do, we have to see into the future, which none of us can do.
Well, no, I mean, first of all, look, everybody, this is not new to the Niners. It's not like, well, the Niners are a team that need their picks. Everybody needs their picks. Everybody needs their picks. That's obvious. It's a matter of, what are you going to do with your picks? And what are you doing with your picks? And if you're blowing your picks, like they have 18 misses in the first three rounds of the last nine drafts, then you're not going to, you know, they were a deeper defensive line in the beginning of the regime from another team's shopping and buying groceries. The cupboard was more stacked up front before they got here than it is today after they've been here for years. What does that say?
Not good. It's probably not good, you know. Having said all that, I think the 49ers can go 4-0 in their next four games. I think that they're going to be favored in Las Vegas in their next four games. And that is the frustration and the maddening kind of yo-yoing of this season that they're in right now. They are flawed. They are tremendously weak in so many areas. Yet I think they're going to win 10 or 11 football games. I like their coach at times. He drives me nuts at other times. I like their roster at times. It looks completely incomplete at other times. You can go crazy staring at the 49ers this year. You really can, Larry. You can go crazy looking at this team. I think they're going to win four in a row. Now, what does that mean? What kind of competition were you playing? Who are you playing? When you play the really good team, what happened? Hey, the Rams are a really good team. And the Seahawks are a really good team. Let's see what that game around looks. I saw a couple notes from Josh Dubo. First of all, the Rams are the only team in the NFL to be top five on both offense and defensive by EPA per play. That came from Mike Sando. So the Rams are really, really good. The Seahawks right now have scored 31-plus points in the first half three times in their last seven games. They had done that three times in their previous 331 games. So they've got a defense that's scoring. They've got an offense that's cooking. Seattle and Los Angeles are two of the best teams in all of football. They really are.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to be really sickening is watching the Rams or Seahawks win the Super Bowl at Levi's.
Hey, you know,
that's going to be sickening.
Mark Davis had to watch the Chiefs celebrate in his building, right? That was tough. This will be tough, too.
I mean, this thing was ugly. I mean, the turnovers were a big part of it. The Juwan Jennings, you know, Juwan Jennings, I don't know what the heck to say about Juwan Jennings, but he fumbled. You're down 14-0, and you're holding the ball away from your body like a loaf of bread. Oh, shocker. Here comes Cam Kitchens, you know, and suddenly, you know, you get a fumble, and now it's 21-0. I mean, that was a huge, huge,
you know, what was massive also, thing. You know, look, you know, when you lose that bad, there's no excuse making. I would like to congratulate the Los Angeles Rams on playing the rarest of football games. That is a penalty-free football game that they played.
Oh, no, it wasn't. There was horrible calls all day.
Larry, it was perfection. I mean, how often do you see a team execute that perfectly? So that was nuts. The fact that they played two PI calls that they didn't call.
I mean,
and then Larry, the call against Kittle, where they said that there was an illegal formation, which wiped away a PI call on what, fourth down, and then they get off the field there on fourth down. And that was ridiculous, too. Not that this was – here's the thing. You don't need to be an analytical nerd. It really isn't heady analysis to say this. Don't fall in a 21-0 hole. You're going to lose more often than you win when that happens. And even though I said, Larry, it's time to, you know, you need to order the Shanahan special where you take early control of a game and then you sit on it. Maybe Kyle needs to start adjusting his, what you do when you win the coin toss for the rest of this year. I'm not comfortable putting the 49ers defense on the football field to begin a game. You're asking to go down 3-0, 7-0. I think it's time Kyle starts, you know, when he wins a coin toss, you take the ball. You got one good unit. It's your offense. They're not great, but they're a lot better than your defense. And I think that Kyle needs to rethink his game day strategies and formula around what he has, not what he wants to do. And oh, by the way,
Kyle has made decisions long ago that he just, you know, he just keeps. That's why some teams, I'm sure, feel like they got a pretty good handle on what he's going to do, because his tendencies on many things are very well known, and that's one of them. The other one was, I mean, come on, man. I know you're in a bunch of close games, but yesterday wasn't one of them. You lost by a lot, and you're still putting out your, you know, the Kittles and the CMCs in the fourth quarter. You know, the week before that, you were still running CMC, you know, into trying to finish the game when you're up two scores. It's like when you're up multiple scores and you're down two multiple scores in the fourth quarter, both situations CMC should not be on the field. And yet CMC's the coach. It's like he's going to put himself in. And it's like Kyle and the offensive coaches have no control over it. I mean, it's like, come on, man. The only thing worse, I mean, they lost 42-26 yesterday. There were a lot of bad things. The one thing none of us said at the end of the game is the season's over, because the season's not over, and they're still very much in the playoff picture. But the season could have been over if Kittle and McCaffrey had gotten hurt in garbage time of that loss. What are they doing out there? So it's like, you know, you got a coach that will say, get back on the sideline. It might be time to have a coach that tells Kyle, we're calling off the dogs. We're taking our talent off the field so we don't get guys hurt, you know, but he doesn't have that in him because he just keeps fighting. We have to get it. It's over, Kyle. The game's over.
You cannot pick and choose when you're going to play with a sense of urgency. And Kyle certainly did yesterday. The 49ers do not have a no-huddle offense that they use until they absolutely have to. And then when the game was over, Kyle goes into no-huddle. And I don't get that. How do you not open third quarter no-huddle? How are you not in no-huddle the minute you're down 21-0? How do you not play with a sense of urgency? And that drives me nuts about Shanahan. Let me also just say this. First game of the entire year where the first two words at the podium for Kyle were, no injuries. But it's not like he didn't try. I mean, really, it's not like he didn't try. Rams scored their final touchdown, Larry, with 5:10 to play. They're up 42-20 in that moment. So now the Niners are down 22 with 5 to play on a day where you haven't stopped a water fountain, much less the Rams. So it's over. It's over. And after they had been huddling all second half with zero urgency, now they start playing hair on fire, let's go football. And they've got George Kittle, Mac Jones, and Christian McCaffrey just being exposed to contact in meaningless drives, meaningless portion of the football game. You got two touches for CMC. Then you got Kittle making that incredible body control catch on the sideline where he reaches out for the touchdown. What if he had torn his other hamstring off the bone doing that? You know, I mean, why? Why are your most valuable players playing football in the lowest of leverage situations? Like, this is
you would think that you got half a win for keeping it close. You don't get a half a win for keeping it close. You still lose. Yeah, and I mean, you're right. It should. Where the fuck is Adrian Martinez? Where the hell is the backup running back? What's Garendo even doing? I mean, you could be Garendo. I could be Garendo. I mean, what the heck? Maybe it's time for Luke Farrell. Maybe it's time for Tonjes. You know, maybe it's time for somebody not named Kittle, CMC, or Mac Jones. Yeah, yeah.
How about this?
But I mean, that would take a level of, hey, Kyle, it's over. Let's put in our other guys and let's do it. Instead, he's like, no, we got to keep going. We got to try. It's too late. Game over. Time for trying is over.
Not only are you playing with fire in terms of you could get your most important pieces of your offense hurt in meaningless football, but you're also playing with the fire of completely losing Brian Robinson Jr. Do you think Brian Robinson Jr. is happy he's a 49er? Do you think he's happy that he's been traded to this football team? How could he be? He even showed up in that first press conference with the perfect attitude, saying, like, I ain't here to back up no one. I'm a really good player, but I'm here to do my job. There's no way he could have envisioned his job was going to be the forgotten man. When actually, on a day where we're trying to get something going on the ground, you're the only one getting anything going on the ground. You're actually running well today, and Kyle's still not going to use you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, McCaffrey's going for 2.5 yards a carry. I mean, it's whatever McCaffrey had, he doesn't have. What I mean, you know, whatever edge he had a year ago. Ball. I mean, I can't see it. To me, he looks as fast as ever. He looks like the same guy, but the results aren't the same. And when one guy's going for 2.5 a carry and the other guy's doubling him up, and you know, Brian Robinson had 9 touches and McCaffrey had 20 touches, and this was the closest that disparity has been. It's been way, way, way worse than that most weeks. It's like, yeah, I mean, the 49ers, it's like they have 2 running backs, not so they can use them simultaneously. It's like, so when McCaffrey dies, they can just go to Robinson the rest of the year, but they're not going to, I mean, it's like, what's the good of having 2 running backs if you're not going to use them at the same time? You're only going to use one. And then when the other one's totally gone, then you bust out the second guy. I mean,
it doesn't make sense from a load management, asset protection. We have been clobbered over the head with how you need to manage players and negotiate the marathon that is an NFL season. It seems like Kyle has a full understanding of it until he gets into the game, and then he completely forgets the plot. It's like he gets lost in the fog of war or something. I really don't understand it. I don't understand it. It's to the point where I'm like, what has to happen to learn the lesson? Do we really have to see McCaffrey's femur snap in the fourth quarter of a lost football game for Kyle to get the memo? Get your starters out of garbage time. Why?
And not only that, I mean, it's not like you have 25 awesome players that you can't identify which ones to get off the field. Yeah, it's pretty freaking identifiable right now. You've got a starting quarterback, you got an all-pro tight end, you got an all-pro running back. Use anybody but those guys. How about that? When you're down multiple scores in the fourth quarter at the end of a long physical game in the middle of a very long physical year. I mean, it's like, you know, but I mean, Kyle is a really good play caller, play sequencer, but you get the feeling that might be all he is. He might not, his ability to handicap the draft and his ability to, you know, to manage the game. No, his ability to make good decisions about his coaching staff. No, Nick Sorensen. There's, you know, it's like he's a great play caller. He's a great play sequencer, and he has ridden that to, you know.
But I think he's even lost his fastball there a little bit, Larry. I mean, I am calling out plays before they're happening, and I'm on to them. And I'm a dude in my basement. What are NFL, you know, other NFL coaches are on to him too. I just think that Kyle's a little lost inside of his own head right now. And it's disappointing.
I think they had the number one passing attack in football going into the game or something.
It's weird. It's really weird. But how
much? It's not like this guy's a total zero.
No, I know. But how much of that happens like in between the 20s? Like in between the 20s, the 49ers got to, hey, move the ball everywhere offense. And then you get into crunch time. Then you get into, you got to score now. And it seems to fall apart.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, everybody with a brain saw that they needed to play ball control. Instead, the Rams come out with a long first drive, and then the Niners go three and out.
Yeah.
You can't, your plan can't be to play ball control and then go three and out. And that's what happened. They go three and out. And it's like, well, what happened? You know, you can't go ball control. And what did they do there? They went Jones to Jennings on first down for seven. Then they go, they love the halfback toss. I mean, if anything, they have thrown that halfback toss a ton into the mix. They go second and three, halfback toss to McCaffrey to the right. He gets nothing. Nothing. So now you're looking at a third and three, and he goes a slant to Jennings. And it was a terrible – this is the one thing, and this wasn't the reason they lost, but it has to be stated. The 49ers got absolutely destroyed by the refs in key moments yesterday. Third and three on that first down, our first drive, I should say. Jones is going slant to Jennings. The defender got there a good 2 seconds early.
All over and his hips.
There's no PI call there. That was one of like three bad PI non-calls against the Rams. That was embarrassing. I thought there was another one right before the end of the first half when Jones went to Jennings again on first and 10. Huge PI call, no call. And then on the next penalty, the next play, the Niners get a delay of game penalty. So, I mean, the 49ers did not look sharp, but, you know, let's give the Rams, you know, credit for a lot of
Rams
that. Rams came out and they avenged that first loss and they played the 49ers tough and they took away, they were on there. They didn't look ready for that first game. They looked really ready for this game.
Stafford is on one right now. He really is. He's playing.
Yeah, and this is what happens. This is what happens with old quarterbacks. They get better, 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 and then they're done. And he's in that better, 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 better. I mean, young Stafford threw picks. Stafford right now doesn't even throw picks. I mean, he takes care of the football. You saw it in this game. There were three or four moments where the Niners did get a little pressure, and a Stafford of the past would have tried to fit it in a tight window and turned it over. This Stafford ran three or four feet, threw it away, ran three or four feet, threw it into a void in the turf where there nobody was. I mean, he's taken his turnover prone tendencies and thrown them out the door. And then now you still have the rest of his game, which is great arm, unbelievable release, really good accuracy. And he's just playing at a crazy level. I mean, he may get another ring this year. I hate to say it, but he may get another ring because they have a great offense with him and tremendous weapons and a really, really strong defensive line. I think the rest of their defense is kind of weak, but really strong defensive line. Quentin Lake's good on the back end. He played well. Emmanuel Forbes is playing really, really well.
They got offensive balance, man. If you can give a defensive coordinator two things to worry about, you're kicking ass on a football field these days. And the Rams can run it at you. The Rams can throw it all over you. A quarterback not making mistakes, a head coach who puts his team in advantageous situation after situation. They're good. They're
had
really
six
good.
Touchdown drives. They had over 400 yards of offense and 42 points. I mean, there's no resistance at all in the first drive. They scored touchdowns on each of their first three drives. Then they scored touchdowns on all three of their second half drives, except for the kneel down to end the game. The Niners never even came close. They still, to this moment, haven't stopped them.
Not to just totally change the subject, but to change the subject. Are we done with Jake Brendel? I mean, can we do we not see that the other guy, I think, played better? Now you can say, well, the Giants are easier to push around than the Rams. I thought that Brendel coming right back into the game plan and the game plan looking very incomplete. Is there something there? Are we going to stick with Jake Brendel all season long?
You know, I haven't studied the All-22. I'll hold off ripping Brendel until I do, but I'm not a Brendel fan. You know, I mean, he's very underwhelming. They can never run at the point of attack. They're not good in short yardage. I mean, show me a team that has an awesome center that can't run up the middle. I mean, you know, they can't run up the middle at all sometimes. I mean, it's just they run, especially early in the year. So I don't know exactly how he graded out in this game.
By the way, you know what? You want to know why you're hearing a lot about Kyle Menangai? Because of Drew Dolman in Chicago. It's amazing.
Well, he was pretty damn good at Rutgers. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, you took the wrong fucking running back. I mean, how many times did I have to do mock drafts where I'm like, Kyle Menangai, Kyle Menangai, Kyle Menangai? He went in the seventh round. You took Jordan James. Jordan James out of Oregon.
Can't hit the field.
He's slow, can't get on the field, is out for three and a half years with broken fingers. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, it's like, just tell me a guy can't play without telling me a guy can't play. When somebody's out for 5 weeks with broken fingers and they're not a quarterback, that tells you the guy can't play. I mean, where's Nick Martin? Where's Jordan James? I mean, it's unbelievable. Luke Gifford's getting roasted and toasted, and you're sitting there. You got your third round linebacker. And how about this? Play your young guys more. I mean, develop them. And in these losing affairs, I mean, you're down big in this game. This would have been a great opportunity to get Nick Martin some field time and some experience. Nope. Let's let Gilmore, our special team, or Gifford, our special teamer. And, you know, he's a nice guy and everything. He's a decent special teamer. But why is he playing over your third round pick? Maybe your third round pick shouldn't have been your third round pick.
Because the third round pick was a massive reach, which is...
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I think they're making them. I don't think that was the mistake. I think this is the mistake.
So either he's not good enough to play.
I mean, we already saw it in the preseason. I mean, if we didn't see him look really good at moments in the preseason, that'd be one thing. But the guy, and if I didn't see the guy play his entire college career, I'd be like, yeah, maybe you're right. No, he can play.
Hey, I don't know if preseason production means anything, you know, to rookies, to veterans. We saw DeMarcus Robinson look good in training camp in preseason. He is useless.
Well, I mean, they for whatever reason, they're not throwing him the ball. But, I mean, yes, that does matter. And it's not just about training camp. The guy had 140 tackles in a season at Oak State. The guy had 7.5 career sacks. Oak State found a way to line this guy up and run him at the quarterback.
I mean,
weeks away are we from the Niners putting their best foot forward and putting their best athletes on the field? I mean, Nick Martin is undoubtedly one of their fastest linebackers. You saw it in the preseason. Come on. I mean,
but here's the thing. We trust Robert Saleh, right? Like Robert Saleh does sit down with an awful lot of house credit. If Saleh's not putting him out on the field, what are we to say then?
We could have said the same thing last year about D. Winters, because Nick Sorensen wasn't putting him on the field. Nick Sorensen, do you think you know more than Nick Sorensen? You play that fucking game? I mean, you know, I mean, it's like ridiculous.
Well, maybe.
These guys don't always make, they don't. First of all, if you listen to my cut, when I asked Robert Saleh about him, it's pretty obvious that this is a decision that's being made organizationally. They're organizationally trying to prioritize special teams. And so organizationally, they're trying to prioritize guys who play well on special teams. And Gifford does play well on special teams.
Well, let him play on special teams.
But, I mean, Nick, let him play. Yeah, I mean, he was the cover. I mean, they went at him. I mean, I haven't even studied the tape yet, but they went at him. I mean, like, where's Gifford? We're going there. I mean, they literally, McVay on his, if we had live mic, if this had been a Super Bowl and we had live mic, there's going to be a dialogue between McVay saying, you know, go at Gifford. I mean, I just really believe that, because they went at him so consistently on all sides of the field and all depths. They went at him.
I will say this. They have gotten a little bit better on special teams. Their kick and punt coverage in the last three or four games has improved. I'll give them that. I don't understand why one guy playing well on special teams means he also gets all the snaps on defense as well. I don't get it.
The amazing thing is after 17 plays in this game, 17 offensive plays in the game, the Rams had 11 first downs. In 17 plays, there was a drive where the Rams didn't even need a third down.
Right.
They went five plays and 64 yards for another touchdown. They never even got to third down. That's how embarrassing the Niner defensive effort was.
It was a bad day.
Couldn't even force a third down attempt on one of those drives.
It was a bad day all around, Kruger. I mean, it really was. I'm saying it for a third week in a row. I said it after the Texans game. I said it after the Giants game. I'm going to say it again. Burn the tape. What are you going to learn? What are you going to learn? We need better players to compete against the best in the NFL. Okay, we know that. Are they going to add better players? Well, you had a chance at the deadline, but you didn't. And I'm not even saying that was the wrong thing to do. I don't think Arden Key changes what happens against the Rams, but it would have been another player, another guy, and another guy, another player seems to be what this team still needs, but they ain't going to get one now. So here's the deal. As frustrating as this all is, I like their chances in the next 4 weeks.
Look at it this way. If you're one of these people saying they really didn't need to make a trade, the one guy who got a sack yesterday was the guy that they traded for, Keon White.
He did get half a sack, didn't he?
Yeah. He's the one guy who affected the quarterback all day was the guy that you traded for. So are you saying that you didn't need to trade for that guy? That you didn't need the sack that you got? I mean, it's just, that's the only thing. The only thing I just can't stand is the let's align ourselves with whatever the manager's doing in baseball, let's just say we agree with it. Whatever the coach is doing, let's just say it's the right move. Whatever the GM does, let's just come up with a philosophy that somehow aligns with whatever he did. There's just a lot of people playing that game, and I just, go ahead, play that game, but you're not fooling me. I don't think you're fooling most of the smart people that we have on our side over here. People know when you're just a yes man and you're just trying to lease resistance so you can keep taking the free hot dog and shoving it in your back pocket, whatever. I don't know why you do what you do. I don't know. I do what I do because I want to see the 49ers win that sixth Lombardi, and I'm passionate about it. That's where I'm coming from. So I don't know where some of these other people are coming from and what their agenda is, but that's mine. And I don't care if in the pursuit, if my passion for that makes it so Shanahan hates me, then Shanahan's going to hate me. I don't care if Lynch hates me, then Lynch is going to hate me. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to say what you guys are all thinking and what's the truth and what I think of the truth is and what's honest over this. I want to avoid stank eye. I don't want anybody to give me a dirty look. I don't want anybody to be upset with me. I don't care if you're upset with me. Be upset with me. You should be upset with me because I'm upset with you. You just gave up six scoring drives and looked absolutely horseshit 4 days after you told us there was no trade out there that can help your defense. Your defense got absolutely torched. So guys like me were like, hey, what the fuck? What the fuck? What's going on here? Why aren't you getting help? Because you needed it. But everybody else is in this mindset of like, well, were you going to win it all? I mean, who knows? Who knows? You don't know who you're going to play, when you're going to play them, what those teams are going to look like. You're just supposed to keep going. You want your players to keep going, but you don't keep going. You want your players to keep fighting, but you don't keep fighting. I mean, you sent a loud message to your locker room when you threw up the white flag at the trade deadline. And it's looked like your defense did the same on Sunday.
It did look like they were dobbered down to begin that game. There's no doubt. But again, I don't know if further investing in this year is the right move. We'll have to see what the future looks like to know that. But you can't. It's a tough thing to evaluate. This is why John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan get paid millions of dollars to make these choices.
The New York Giants just fired Brian Daboll. I don't know if you saw that, but Brian Daboll is out and Mike Kafka.
Wow.
The offensive coordinator is named the interim coach. They had a lead yesterday against the Bears and coughed it up. And so Daboll is out.
I mean, I will say this. I watched
New York, man.
I watched all that game. Jackson Dart went out of that game. And that's when the Bears came back into it. But Daboll wasn't the long-term answer. It looked like that. But man,
he's a clown, man. He was a total clown. Totally exposed, I thought, by Hard Knocks. Nobody's ever been more exposed by Hard Knocks than that Joker. He was literally looking at his phone, Damon. He was like this. He was like, hey, man, look at the stats on this guy. We got to get this Shane Bowen. You're the guy. There's a scene of him pointing at his phone going, look, they're number one against this. They're number three against that. They're number two against that. Man, we got to get Bowen. They're dead last in defense with this coordinator. That's his hand. And he was picking it off stats off his phone. I mean, it's
I'll say this. If you really want to see the worst head coach on Hard Knocks ever, go back to like the second time the Cowboys were on it and watch Dave Campo. You could literally see guys yawning during Dave Campo's pep talks. It was
Dave Campo was Buddy Ryan compared to Brian Daboll. I mean, Dave Campo was like the father of defensive football compared to Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll was like, hey, man. He's like, hey, this is what he said in the Hard Knocks. He's like, hey, man, yeah, we don't need Barkley. We can get Devin Singletary in here. I knew him from Buffalo. He's going to be great. Yeah. So Barkley goes to Philly. They win the Super Bowl. You get Devin Singletary and are fired 2 years later. Congrats.
Not that I'm here to defend anybody or the Niners, but if you want to know how tough this league is, ask the Buffalo Bills, who got clobbered by Miami yesterday in one of the weirdest outcomes you will see attached to this year. It is a week-to-week league, man. Good 1 week and terrible the next. There is no doubt about that. So consistency, to me, is what matters.
I mean, look at that, though, Damon. You brought up Buffalo. Why did they get beat? Well, I mean, I didn't watch that game. I watched highlights of it. I saw some of it, but no sacks. No, they had two hits on the quarterback. They had no sacks all day. They lost Ed Oliver, who is like one of their best and only real impact guys on their defense, and they gave up 30 to the Dolphins. You know what I mean? So, and their receivers are not great.
When you can't stop the run, Niners, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Dolphins ran for 6.2 a carry, and Achan went for almost 8 yards a carry. Yeah, if you can't stop the run, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Buffalo's got Josh Allen. You notice all these people are like, you know, these quarterback people are always like, Josh Allen's God. Okay, well, Josh Allen threw for 300 yards yesterday, but he was picked off once. He was sacked 3 times, and they put up 13 points. Is Josh Allen now suck? You know, so it's like, I don't know. It's one of those things where some guys, if you're in that that top tier, it's like you're allowed to have bad days. But if you're not, the Brock Purdy's, the Mac Joneses of the world, people are going to grade them harshly. But Josh Allen, oh my God, Josh Allen. I mean, he's absolutely amazing. Well, he wasn't amazing yesterday, was he?
You know who was, though? Who? In spite of everything, Mac Jones. This guy had 6 incompletions yesterday. He was 33 of 39 for 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. Nobody even noticed the really good game he had as he was having it. A 115.7 quarterback rating. This guy has saved the entire fucking season. And Mac Jones is having an awesome year to the point where I don't want to hear about Brock Purdy until the bye week. I think Mac has earned the right to start these next 4 games. If Brock Purdy's toe is still a problem, Dr. Damon here. It'll be less of a problem a month from now. And if you sit him down to the bottom, you're buying him to like late December to rest this toe. And if that toe ain't ready by then he should be wheeled into fucking surgery. Okay.
I agree with all of that. And then the barometer shouldn't be, you know, the barometer of should Brock play or not should not be how's he feeling. Okay. The barometer should be, do you think he's ready to go out there and play better than what Mac Jones just did? If you think that he can do better than what Mac Jones is doing, get him out there. If you don't think he can do better than Mac Jones, don't put him out there.
Jones became the third 49er quarterback to complete 30 or more passes with a completion percentage of 80 or higher. Only Garcia and Young have done that. His 84.6 completion percentage on the day tied for the second highest completion percentage of his career. Mac is playing outstanding football. The only consistent outstanding presence every game he's played has basically been Mac Jones on this team. He is their Len Eshmont Award winner. He is their MVP this season. He's been fantastic.
Shouldn't be that surprised, really, because Mac Jones has been this guy. I didn't want to admit it, but Damon, he completed in 2020 at Bama. This is the SEC. Now, granted, it's Bama, but he's still playing an SEC schedule. That's right. That's the best football there is. And not only that, that's I think where it's even a greater conference than people think, because look at the percentage of defensive players that go in the first three rounds of the draft from
a defensive back standpoint alone. The SEC
and linebackers, D line. I mean, the SEC's monster defense. 2020, Mac Jones, 77% completion, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks, 11.2 yards per attempt. By the way,
so you're not
Mac Jones. Mac Jones in his 3 years at Bama had an 11.0 yards per attempt average in his career. Damon, it's the all-time FBS Division I-A record. This guy can play.
It makes you wonder why they took Trey Lance in front of him, doesn't it?
It was because of guys like me. I mean, I'll own my responsibility. It was because of big mouth know-it-alls like me saying that you need somebody more special athletically. I was wrong. Yeah,
but they're not clear. They're not listening. They're not listening. But
I mean, it wasn't just me. I'm not. I wasn't the only person. We were all yelling. This guy's got a pot belly. This guy's had a DUI. This guy's. It's all about. He's a product of Bama. He's not. We need something more next level. We need a Mahomes. We need our Mahomes. That's Fields. That's Lance. That's not this guy with a pot belly and a big attitude.
How does Kyle not realize what he needs, though? How does Kyle miss on that? This guy seems to be.
I think Kyle didn't. I think Kyle deferred. I think Kyle bowed down. I think the pressure, you know, first of all, there was a lot of pressure here. You know, there was a lot of pressure at this point in history. You had the whole George Floyd thing. There was a lot of race debates. There were a lot of people that were turning this 49er draft choice into a referendum on race. You know, that was very much a part of the equation,
which shouldn't have been. It shouldn't. That's absurd. Of course it shouldn't have been.
But that's the reality. I think, don't you think that's accurate when I said that? I mean,
I think look at it this way. I think it might've been out in the ether. It should not have even crept under the crack of the war room door as they were making decisions. What are we fucking?
I think we're naive to think it didn't creep in. But it wasn't just race. I think it was also, you know, people looked at Lance and Fields as next level ability. I mean, there's no question. Why do the Niners love Brock Purdy so much? Because he's got that next level of mobility. He's got that 1.54, 10-yard split that lets him escape. He can run away from defenders when he's healthy. And that's what made Brock. I mean, Brock did it in the NFC Championship game. He ran away from Detroit Lions defenders and made plays and led them to the Super Bowl. I mean, we saw his skill set, you know, on the field, and he had that mobility. And I think the Niners were looking for a Mahomes, a Lamar, you know, somebody with next level movement ability. And they went for Lance. There was a lot of people saying go for Fields, and they passed on Jones. But I'll just say this. There were an awful lot of people, Mike Lombardi and others, who were absolutely dead set adamant that Shanahan's guy was Jones. And that when they were faced with he wasn't his guy, they, instead of saying, okay, they said, no, he was. They're just saying that. I mean, they were convinced that.
Here's the deal, though.
That Shanahan wanted Mac Jones.
You literally, as a head coach, general manager, front office shot caller, you literally get to this moment in time to finally have the chance to make the decision you see best. And to be talked out of what you believe in.
Yeah, but
at the intersection of here's your moment and you better get it right. To be talked out of what you believe in is a shame if that's what really happened.
But and Damon, look, go back and look at it. Remember they were saying, Damon, they were saying hey, we were, and Shanahan, even when he's asked about it, when he revisits it, he'll say, we were committed not to Trey Lance. They were committed to having a quarterback on a rookie contract because of what it meant cap-wise to their roster. They've penned it all out. They told us one time, hey, we penned our roster out, what it looks like with Jimmy and an extension, what it looks like with a rookie quarterback. They were committed to the rookie quarterback, but here's the thing. They had – this is a problem in the history. You could write a book about this. They had no conviction. They had no conviction on Aaron Rodgers. They preferred Aaron Rodgers to Alex Smith. But they had no conviction. They had no conviction. So they just went with Alex Smith because the rest of the league liked Alex Smith. They had no conviction on Mac Jones. So they went with, they did their due diligence and went with Trey Lance because they didn't have the conviction. They had the conviction was we have to have a rookie quarterback. The conviction wasn't we have to have Mac Jones.
Well, the players,
but I do believe, though, and I think now that we're watching it, I think Kyle Shanahan saw that Mac Jones could be kind of a smarter, more accurate version of Jimmy Garoppolo and could really thrive in his system. What I learned yesterday, I mean, not yesterday exclusively, but partially yesterday, sitting next to Todd Husak, and it's a real advantage to get to sit next to Husak during these games because he's a former NFL quarterback. He sees coverage. He sees movement at the line. He sees the game like a quarterback would. And at one point, I said to him, after Mac Jones was just making play after play, I'm like, the accuracy of Mac Jones is unbelievable. And he looked at me and he's like, yeah, there was that one play, Damon, where Mac was being pressured off his right side and he had a receiver to the right side in the flat. And the rusher had gotten, instead of getting one step and he was coming towards him, he had already had like three steps. He was like on the verge of hitting Mac Jones. And Jones has still got the ball around his waist. He's not even cocked it back. And somehow he cocks it back and gets it out in the flat or in the deep flat to the receiver, put it on his hands as he's running with a rusher bearing down on him. The accuracy of, I thought Purdy was accurate, and I think he really is, but Purdy's specialness is about his movement. Jones's next level thing, if he has an Avenger, trait, dude, this guy is accurate.
Hey, if you get Mac Jones behind an offensive line that does his job, I think you can win big.
Yes. This guy, you can win the whole thing with this guy. If you have if you had what Philly had last year, a killer D and a good line and a great runner, dude, you could win multiple rings with Mac Jones.
He's a
good decision maker.
He's a really he's very accurate. He's good. He gets the ball out on a team that doesn't have much in terms of targets for him. He's multiple touchdowns and around 300 yards behind bad protection with a spotty running game. What more do you want? Like, what more do you want? This guy is the single best free agent maybe this regime has signed.
And he's not getting worse, by the way. He's getting better. Have you noticed how he's getting better? Last week, he completed 79%. This week, 85%.
Right. His second year. Off the rose, right? This is the point where the backup you're officially pushing it.
He's been found out.
Right. You've asked him for four more quarters than you should have ever asked him for.
Right. Well, you see it in baseball. A guy plays good for 2 days a week, and they put him out there every day, and it's like, he's more of a two-day-a-week guy.
It's the Wilmer Flores.
Yeah, he's getting exposed playing every day. But look at Mac Jones. Go back once again to Alabama.
By the way, Wilmer Wilmer. Wilmer was
good. Yeah, come on. Wilmer can hit. 2019, Mac Jones played 12 games for Bama that year. He completed – this is his first full year as the starter. Now, he played as a freshman. This is his sophomore year. He had he played 14 games as a freshman, but he only had 13 total attempts. So he barely played. He completed 38%. Now he comes back. He's sophomore year. He's starting. 68.8% completion, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. And then you're thinking, oh, that's really good. Wonder what he'll do his junior year. He comes out, and as I said, 77.4% completion percentage, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks. So he's just, and then watching him, though, he doesn't look coordinated. Like he doesn't, you wouldn't say, oh man, look at this guy. There's nothing about him other than his height. He's got decent height. But other than that, there's nothing about him that you go, whoa.
Right. He doesn't cut a physical silhouette. He walks into the room and you're like, that's just a person.
This guy's accuracy is right there with the best quarterbacks in the game right now, as far as accuracy, just accuracy. And you know what? He's got better arm strength than you think. He really does. Much better arm strength than you think. And this guy averaged 346 passing yards per game his final year at Bama. And the Niners missed on him. They had the 13th pick. He went 15th. They should have just kept their picks and took him where they were slated. Instead, they had to trade up. They traded all that draft capital for Trey Lance. They wasted all that time and draft capital.
It's a staggering moment in time. If you want to really talk about forks in the road moments in time, that's one of them, but that is a serious moment in time that the 49ers got wrong. So I know we got to get to the moment in time where we start getting into these supers, Larry. We got plenty of them today, but I just kind of want to, you know, on a day where we were rightfully negative about what we saw and kind of down on decisions that brought us to the moment of what we saw, I do want to finish with this. At Arizona feels like a win. Home to Carolina on Monday Night Football. That should be a win. It feels like Carolina's come back down to earth just a little bit. At Cleveland, well, that's a good enough defensive line to where that could be a little bit more of a problem. And the last time the Niners went to Cleveland, they did not show well for themselves. But I think that can be a win. And you, me, and four other dudes could beat Tennessee. So,
let's not play that game. I'm not playing that game because the reality is, if you don't pressure Cam Ward, he'll beat you. Mm. If you don't pressure any of these guys, they'll beat you. If you don't pressure Bryce Young, they'll beat you. The Niners didn't do anything as far as this is the highest graded defensive player for the Niners yesterday was Sam Aquinu, then Robert Beal, then Curtis Robinson, then D Winters, then Keon White, then Demo Lenore. But I mean, I don't even want to see those numbers because there was no resistance.
By the way, thank God Tatum Bethune came out of that blue tent and got back into the game. What if you lose that guy?
By the way, I'm looking at Lombardi's tweet. Mac Jones up to number 11 in QBR as the number two quarterback. He got the 11th best QBR. Brock Purdy has been number one at QBR, which is the ESPN stat, and number seven QBR at his worst. That's Dave saying, you know what? Brock's got to play over Jones. And I think I agree that Brock's better than Jones, but it's not like we can't have a discussion. It's not like it's not debatable. It is debatable. It is debatable. And it's really debatable when you have a diminished version of Brock Purdy, which is what we have right now.
As we sit around and analyze, like, why did you lose game X? Mac Jones has yet to be the equals why they lost any game so far, in my mind. He's been great. Money. He's been great. Money. He's been absolute money, and you don't take your money off the table to put another stack of money on until that money's right. You know, get your money right with Brock Purdy, then play him. You have been afforded a gift, a luxury that very few teams ever get. Outstanding backup quarterback play while you're waiting for a nagging injury to nag less. They could literally buy another month of rest for their starting quarterback and probably not dip with what they're doing week to week offensively. There's no reason to go back to Purdy right now. And if it's about Brock's like mentals, so, dude, I don't want to hear about any kind. You got a contract that means your confidence doesn't get to flux based on amount of practice snaps anymore. Your contract says you're the fucking man and you will be asked to be the man when you're ready to be the man. But in the meantime, we got this man who is playing he might be the man football. And we're not taking him off the field yet. And we're not taking him off the field yet because that's what's best for you. And what is best for you, Brock, in the long run is what's best for us. If we thought this year was going to be, let's go, push all the chips in, the deadline deal might have happened and Brock would be playing right now. This team has decided to sit back, you know, and just, you know, they're They're going to keep going with the blinds. They're the big blind, the little blind. They'll ante, but they're not re-raising on the season. So stay. Stay with Mac Jones right now. It's the right thing to do. That's my opinion. But what the hell do I know? I'm just on YouTube.
I mean, I think my barometer is a good one, which is if you feel like, I mean, you're watching practice, not you, but I mean, Kyle. You know, Kyle, you're watching practice. If you're, if you feel like Brock looks better than Mac, play him. If not, play Mac. I mean, it's really not that complicated.
Let's hit some supers, Larry.
All right, let's do it.
Let's hit some supers. Bring up your good friends from Habas, who I know are now supporting and sponsoring the super chat segment of the show.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine called me this weekend and said, you know,
it's like, I want to sue the Niners for emotional distress. Who do I call, Larry?
Worse than that. Worse than that. Family friend had a terrible tragedy happen to one of their good friends, and one of their kids was hit by a bus, I believe, and died.
Oh my
God. And it's obviously a terrible, terrible tragedy. And, you know, my friend called me and said, hey, look, I watch your YouTube show all the time, and I see, you know, you represent Habas Law. Would you have Omar Habas call me? And so I reached out to Omar, and Omar's like, yeah. And I'll reach out and call him. I mean, this is real life. This is real life. Stuff happens. You know, I a good friend of mine was a dancer, and she was walking through Union Square. This is a number of years ago now. And there was just like, you know, they took off one of the sidewalk squares and there was sand underneath, you know, it was just like a foot down, but they didn't have things set, you know, they didn't put anything around it. No caution. And she's just walking at night in Union Square, and she fell, and she rolled her ankle and broke her ankle. And, you know, I hooked her up with a personal injury attorney. You know, she sued the city of San Francisco, and, she won. And, you know, so it's like sometimes things happen. I mean, you know, we all hope everything goes great in life, but sometimes things happen. Sometimes there are accidents. Sometimes somebody runs a red light and you've got some terrible result. And nobody's going to bring your loved one back, of course. But if you want to be brought whole and you want to take a litigious approach to your solution to your problem, nobody would fault you. That's the world that we live in. So today's show is sponsored by Habas Law. For more than 40 years, they've done a great job, you know, representing people right here in Northern California. Omar Habas is on Tarek. They're, you know, the insurance companies try to dodge. These guys know the playbooks. They don't let you dodge if you're an insurance company. They're aligned with the community here. If you need someone in your corner, call the firm the insurance companies hope you never call. And that's Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Visit them on the web at habaslaw.com, HABBASlaw.com. You want somebody in your corner that can fight for you, and 1-800-INJURED, Habas Law. And they're going to bring us, our super chat portion of the show. So we'll roll through some supers right here, and we got a bunch, so let's get through them. Big Hurt says, good morning. Finally caught a live show. Way to go, Big Hurt. He says, where is Siegel, Sebastian Valdez, Watkins, Garendo, James, etc.? People are healthy scratches when people on the field not performing. Krug, please make it make sense. Valdez was given the elevation Saturday off the practice squad, but he didn't get...
and then he got scratched.
He got scratched. He was inactive.
Why?
Watkins was active, but didn't touch the ball, didn't have any targets. Garendo is active, but they obviously don't trust Garendo. They don't use him at all. James, I don't know what to say about James. I wouldn't have taken him. It was a great running back draft. How could you possibly take a bad running back in this draft? There were so many good ones, but they seem like they found a way to. We'll see if he's good, but he hasn't been good yet. As far as Siegel
got baptized by rough play to start, and as soon as he was improving, they got Mustafa healthy back, and
he'll be back.
Edge him out. Yeah. He'll be back.
I mean, everybody's getting a run back there, and now they're giving Brown his run. But, I mean, Siegel will be back. All these guys are going to be back at some point. I don't think Garendo is, but James, Watkins, Valdez, Siegel, they'll all be out there at some point here in the final stretch of the year for sure, especially if the 49ers.
I got to tell you, man, I wish CJ West were playing better. I really do.
Well, he's not a big pass rusher, and a lot of it, so he's got to make his hay as a run defender. He was getting combo blocked, so it's not like he's some joke. They don't combo block nobody. So, they don't combo block you just for the heck of it. You know, so somebody thought he was pretty good. So we'll see. I think the line got it. It's a technique rich position, and, you know, rookies don't have technique. So it has to be taught. It has to be learned. I'll say this. They like him. They respect him. They think he's got a future. It's not like, oh my God, he's a bust. No, there's right. Nobody no, with the
there's,
Niners.
There's, who thinks no, there's CJ no one saying that, but I wish I saw him. It was such a great weekend for the Hoosiers. I just thought it would translate to him. I was hoping anyways, by the way, good to
it
know.
I thought it was a good weekend for the Hoosiers, but they played pretty poorly. I thought in that game,
are you out of your mind? They've never won in Happy Valley ever. That was the number two ranked team in the country before everything started falling apart.
They had a big lead and they coughed it up,
but a huge, almost, you have no chance to convert on this drive. They did it. Mendoza has his Heisman movement. That is one of the greatest catches.
Great comeback
football game. It was a great win. It was a great win. They're undefeated. They remain undefeated. They're 10-0 for the second year in a row. And in Bloomington, we don't need to know any style point. 10-0 for a second year in a row. Unbelievable. The Hoosiers are real, and they survived a game
Penn State covered easily in that game. They should have put Penn State away. They had Penn State on the ropes, and then they let them off, and then Penn State jumped them, and all of a sudden it was Penn State's ball game, and then Mendoza stepped up. Mendoza looks really good.
It was big. It was big. And then they beat Marquette, baby. Indiana basketball. Put 100 on Marquette. Let's go.
Salty from Salt Lake City said, either of you feel the front office isn't showing faith in the team with no trades for a pass rusher, et cetera? Thanks. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. I think it's a Jed. I think Jed, the Yorks basically stay out of the way, but not completely. And I think they mandated the belt tightening. I think they mandated the, going into this year. And I think that set the tone for the whole year. I think they look at this. I mean, there was a lot of dead cap this year. So I think they said, you know what, we're going to have all this dead cap, and we're not going to make, we're not going to make these big expenditures, and we're just going to roll through it. But man, if I was Trent Williams, I'd be pissed. I absolutely would be pissed if I was Trent. I don't think it's about Lynch, though, or Shanahan. I think it's more about they like to paint themselves as the masters of their universe, but they're not. They're employees who work for Jed, and Jed he's the master of the universe, and he makes all those decisions. So I think Jed probably said, you know what, we're going to have a belt tightening here.
Yeah.
And it's just stupid enough to come from him.
It was a year of austerity, and I hope that they are enjoying investing in, what do they own, Leeds soccer? Maybe that's where Jed's attention is.
I don't know, but, once again, I mean, the 49ers, you could argue, based on the success previously, are one of the best teams in the NFL at spotting undrafted free agent talent, and it's a relatively cheap field. You're only talking about maybe spending $5 to $7 million total on your haul. And they were 26th in undrafted free agent spending in a year where they weren't big and veteran free agent spending and should have been a huge player in the undrafted market. They weren't. Why? Because of Jed belt tightening. It's idiotic belt tightening. Cause when you don't know when you don't know football, you just are like, and all you do know is you want to save money. Then you can just say, hey, you know what? We need to save money. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's just like, oh, we saved. But in reality, that was one of your main advantages. And you handcuffed your own front office for no reason at all to save, what, $2 million, $3 million? I hope it works for you, because you may have lost three or four really good players that you needed, good young players that you had to have. Fuji Simeon says, I know Veterans Day is tomorrow, but Larry and Damon, thank you both for your dad's service. Yeah, George Kruger was a JAG Corps attorney. And that's how he met my mom. He was stationed in Chicago at Fifth Army headquarters in the 60s. And one of the guys he was in the Army with lived out on the south side of Chicago. He said, hey, you know, my neighbor has a young lady that you would you like to go on a date with her? And he had two buddies, and my dad is like 6'3", and this guy was like 5'4", right? And the date comes, and the other guy was supposed to go on the date with my mom. And the guy goes to this guy, Chet, who was setting him up, and said, is she tall? And he's like, yeah, you know, she's pretty tall, actually. She's like 5'6", 5'7". He's like, oh, I can't go out with her, because he's like 5'4". And then my dad, who's 6'3", was like, I'll go out with her.
I'm tall enough.
And that's how it worked. He went out on a blind date with my mom. This is like 1962 or something like that. They were married in 63. My brother arrived in 65. My sister arrived in 68. I arrived in January of 70. My sister, younger sister, arrived in October of 72. And our family of six was created. So there you go. There's the
Ron Bruce story. Stopped at two kids. He's like, that's enough. But look, my dad served in Vietnam. He was the only white guy in an all-black platoon. He was assigned to them because he ran the radio. And that's
really. I've never heard you say that.
It's probably part of the reason why I grew up enamored with the concept of running radio. It's probably
was your dad a radio fan, Damon, as a kid?
Yeah.
Listen to a lot of radio in the car and in the house? Car.
Yep. And here's the thing. I grew up with what I think is a great taste in music, Motown and R&B, because my dad picked up his great taste in music as the only white guy in an all-black platoon in Vietnam. My dad, look at it this way. My dad was in charge of radioing like strategic hits, but he was not allowed to touch the radio, the actual radio. So I grew up on Motown and R&B, and my dad was the blue-eyed soul brother. And
that is so funny because we, you know, A-Track was big in the 70s. And we had an A-Track in our station wagon. And my dad was a big Lou Rawls fan.
Sure.
He was a Chicago guy. And my mom loved Lou Rawls, too, because she was from Chicago. But, yeah, we used to listen to Lou Rawls, Lady Love. I know every word of Lady Love. And I can sing it. When I hear that song, too, it does make me think of my dad. Salty from Salt Lake City says, is Brock and his huge contract tradable in the offseason? I'd rather surround Mac Jones with weapons instead of paying for Purdy. Thanks.
Brock is a no trade in his clause. I mean, he would have to approve it. And I just don't think that that's what is going to happen. So it's really not even worth talking about.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen? If the Niners want to part with Brock Purdy, they probably can, but it won't be until after the 2026 season. Contract somewhat.
What's that dead cap look like if they were to do that?
36 million.
Woof.
36 million in dead cap if they get out after next year. Before then, it's even more punitive. Fuji Simeon says, I know Veterans Day is tomorrow, but Larry didn't. I think he might have put that in twice. Actually. Oh,
thank you, Fuji.
Did he?
Maybe he did it on both. He did it on your side and my side. I don't know.
Let's see. Okay, we got this one. Joseph Ernberg, haven't heard nothing more real in a bit, Damon. Fire.
I was on fire earlier in this show. I'm sorry if everyone else missed it.
Joseph Ernberg, I don't watch college, but I root for IU every week.
Dude, welcome to the bandwagon. Kruger's telling me it wasn't a good win in Penn State. I'm telling
you. Well, I bet them and they didn't cover.
Now we know what happened.
Yeah. But I mean, seriously, they were destroying everybody. And then this game, they decided not to. Joseph Ernberg. Niner fans are starting to be okay with mediocrity.
I mean, I don't know. I don't get a lot of fans are okay with that. Is the feedback that I'm getting.
I think it's more Niner media than Niner fans. Niner fans want the best. Niner media are just like, whatever. Michael Cervantes. There you go. Thank you, Michael.
Making it rain. Thank you, Michael.
Making it rain. Joseph Ernberg. Rams put their blank in the Niners blank and end 6-11. What is that?
Is that the pickle? Put their pig in the Niners pickle? Niners Ernberg, end 6-11.
How dare you go against the sponsor with putting that kind of imagery out there? But yeah, Rams put their pig in the Niners pickle. Niners end 6-11. Oh man. That would be bad. 6-11. I would say heads will roll if 6-11.
Oh, look at it this way. If they lose out to end the year, everyone's gone. Everyone's fired. Goodbye. But that's not going to happen. So don't
worry. Come on. I don't think they're everybody's fired, but I would say this. Somebody will be fired if they lost out. And I mean, hey, let's be totally honest about this. If you have no pass rush, every quarterback against you is going to play pretty well. So, you know, the schedule, you have to look at the schedule from the prism of they cannot move the quarterback off the spot. So who knows? Who knows? All bets are off as far as what games they win, lose, all that. I think it's wide open at this point. It's a week-to-week deal. Dale says, explain how the Seahawks and the Lambs reloaded so quickly, but we can't. It's not all contracts. I don't get it. I don't want to remove Lynch and Shanny, but yeah, I mean, John Schneider has done a really good job. Les Snead has done a really good job. They have done a better job. The Niners, Kyle Shanahan, the coach, has been undone by Kyle Shanahan, the general manager, / the organization, / Lynch, / whatever. I mean, there's no mystery here. Go look at go Google 49ers draft history and look at their draft history. I mean, it will tell you everything you need to know.
Compare it to Seattle's, compare it to LA's, and you'll see everything you're asking.
Compare it to Trent Baalke before. Because good old Trent Baalke drafted Mike Iupati. Good old Trent Baalke drafted Navarro Bowman. Good old Trent Baalke drafted Anthony Davis and Alden Smith. That's what Trent Baalke did. Good old Trent Baalke. Yeah, he took A.J. Jenkins, damn it. Why do you got to always remember that one, Damon? But good old Trent Baalke also drafted Jimmy Ward, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner. You put a little credit on good old Trent Baalke. You know, yeah, you rolled in and suddenly you're a king. And here comes Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster and Mike McGlinchey and Dante Pettis and Javon Kinlaw and Trey Lance and Drake Jackson. You can't blame good old Trent Baalke for those misses, buddy.
I don't know if Trent Baalke was as bad as maybe this regime has been.
Trent Baalke drafted DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead.
It's a little bit of a lateral move, maybe, and that's a problem. All right, we got to keep going here, Larry. I'm reaching the got to take a leak portion of the wake up.
Michael Cervantes, the sad part is not so much the loss. It's that they won't hold our front office accountable for horrible roster construction and bad draft picks.
Well, we do.
I think we just did. Bill Kennedy, if Purdy starts, how bad would he have to be pulled? Then we have a quarterback controversy. If he comes in and plays the way he played in Jacksonville, where the ball's floating and he's throwing all these high passes, get him the fuck off the field. I mean, it's, you know, you don't have, just because you drafted the guy doesn't mean you got to play him all the time if he's hurt and he's not playing well. Fuji says, side note, Larry, Reardon beat Sarah and secured the first WCAL title in 25 years. Also, SI beat Sacred Heart in the first Bruce Mahoney Trophy game this year. Go Cats, get them Cats, go get them Cats. And by the way, Fuji, just so you know, the president of Reardon High School is Tim Reardon. The president of Reardon High School is a former St. Ignatius Wildcat. I mentioned that to Bob Sargent this weekend. I'm like, you realize this.
To Reardon?
Reardon's president, Tim Reardon, spelled differently.
Okay. No relation to Cardinal.
No relation. Reardon. This is R-E-A-R-D-A-N. Tim Reardon went to SI. He's an SI guy. He was there when I was there, and he's now the president at Reardon.
Well, some things are just Reardon.
There you go. D. Martinez, I don't know what's worse, Mustafa's hit and no rap on Corum, or his business decision on the goal line. Let's stop with he's a big hitter. Yeah, he doesn't look good. He hasn't looked good this year. Mustafa, I don't know why, but he hasn't looked good. I don't know if it's just out of rhythm.
I just think he's missed so much football. He's got to play himself back into shape. And
he doesn't look good. I mean, I saw what you saw. Lyrics Media. I'm just annoyed that the Rams snuck in a Super Bowl by going all in, then had to rebuild on the fly and did just that. The Niners cannot draft or hit on free agents recently. They need a GM with scouting experience with full control. I agree. This Kyle Shanahan needs to coach and only coach. And if they can ever get a structure where they have a GM that's picking absolute winners, they will win multiple Super Bowls with Kyle Shanahan. And if you don't think that Kyle's part of the problem, look at the offensive players that he has traded up for, and they've all bombed. They've all bombed. Ernberg in the house says, I threw up on that outside run on fourth and one with CMC.
They either can't block that or Christian can't get there anymore. Either way, let's throw that play away. It ain't working. It hasn't
worked. You don't run wide on fourth and one. Guess what? If you have Brendel and Brendel's great and you had to insist on Brendel, then run up the fucking gut because Brendel's so good. If Brendel's not so good, then he's not so good, but it can't be both. He can't be so good that he's got to be in there and so bad that you don't run up the middle on fourth and one. My God.
Thank you. Seriously. By the way, how about Hennessy getting caved in on the blocked PAT yesterday, too? That was, I mean, if Matt Hennessy is the answer, he didn't appoint himself in that moment as the guy who looks like the answer.
The answer was a guy named Frazier from West Virginia who went to the Steelers in the second
round. Drew Dahlman in Chicago. Hey,
they couldn't afford Drew Dahlman, but they could have taken Frazier over Ricky Glass, Vaz, Pearsall. Roderick Thomas says, how do we have the absolute world's worst defensive line? It looks easy for the other teams. Yeah, I mean, what happens is you can't pick anybody. Do I need to go research Drake Jackson, Solomon Thomas, Javon Kinlaw? These are the draft choices, the D-line draft choices picked up front. Chris Kocurek might be a great D-line coach, but his ability to identify D-line picks in the draft is not looking too good right now.
You know, it's a next man up sport, but that bites you in the butt a little bit when every man up is the next man up. You know, I mean, that's when you're the next man up and you're playing next to the next man up and he's playing next to his next man up, starts to cave in on you a little.
Ben Diesel said there's no excuse why outside of injuries that Nick Martin and Valdez aren't on the field at this point. Gifford is not better than Martin. Yeah, there's no
doubt. We agree.
No doubt. PWS, how do we get this Krug energy in the media room? LOL. Yeah, no, you could get it in the media room. It would just be a one-day media room thing. You know what I mean? If I got in here and started just chewing on Shanahan, do you think I'd be invited back? They'd usher me out of there so fast. I mean, some things.
I want your opening question to be, Kyle, Larry Kruger, Krug Show, KNBR, host of Niners Nightly. What the fuck?
Yeah. I knew you were going there.
What the fuck, Kyle? What the fuck?
Or try to be like polite about it. Hey, Kyle, WTF.
Pardon me, sir.
Excuse me. Do you have any gray poupon? Fuji Simeon, congrats on A&M and IU still unbeaten. Are you two guys going to have a friendly bet between you two regarding whether A&M or IU advances further in the playoffs?
No, I'll take that. Absolutely not. Larry is a false A&M prophet. No.
I've been an A&M fan since I was 9.
That's great. I went to Indiana University. One outranks the other. Yeah, but totally. You're not on the same
level. In other words, what year was that?
December 97, the year I got.
So I was an A&M fan for 20 fucking years before you were ever an Indiana fan.
So yawn. It meant so much to you. You went to Sac State.
Mom, Dad, can I go to A&M? My niece goes to A&M. Does that matter?
Okay. Well, you know, then it is in the family circle. Then. That makes you a little closer. Circle. Gives you a little bit more credibility.
A&M is stacked, man. They are stacked. And by the way, if you want to look for the next quarterback that, you know, I mean, Damon's got Mendoza. Mendoza's really good. But, man, Marcel Reed is real. He's real. He's going to be good. D. Martinez says, does $20 million buy us a game without a penalty?
I'll tell you who's the man on A&M. Is that wide receiver with a Concepcion?
He's good.
He's real good.
He might even be their best wide receiver, actually, but he's having a really good year. A&M's loaded, though. I mean, their defense, they got all kinds of guys. Torian York is unbelievable. The linebacker, they've got some dudes on defense.
Oh, Fuji wants to know. Give us a little Yelp review of the buffet this week. What'd you get, Larry?
Okay, so we started. First of all, the line for the what's it called? An omelet.
Station. An omelet station that they turn into a carving station sometimes.
Yeah. So they had an omelet station, dude. The line was 25 people deep. So yeah. I'm like, I'm not gonna go on the right now because there was only one lady doing the omelet. So I'm not standing in a line 25 people deep for an omelet. So I go up to the so that's one option. The other option, I looked over, they had the most unbelievable thing. They had turkey pot pies with like a biscuit with like this turkey gravy thing with bits of turkey in it. It was unbelievable. So I had a turkey biscuit. I avoided the dog altogether. Can't go dog. Then I came back for the omelet. Went Denver omelet late in the morning. Then I had the Joe Montana chicken fingers at halftime that were starting to be warmed up when Joe's final season.
Touch dry.
A little on the dry side. But yeah, it was all right. It wasn't, you know, and then of course the candy station is very significant. But the media food was good. It wasn't holiday good, but it was good. A couple more here. Anthony leaked scorpion. Larry, have you asked Kyle or Purdy why are you practicing on an injury that you're supposed to stay off of toe for 2 to 6 weeks? Purdy, understand the injury. Yeah, I mean, they got their own doctors and they got their own mindset.
Here's what I do know.
But I agree.
Three guys got hurt in practice this week. Alfred Collins, full participant in practice on Wednesday. Thursday, he hurts himself. Three guys hurt themselves in practice this week. I think D. Winters was one. He ended up playing. There was somebody else, too. What the fuck are you guys doing in practice? Maybe it's time for Damon to come back down to practice to stop this bullshit, because I don't know if you guys get it or not. What is going on? How about this?
Practice. You know, it might be time. Hey, Kyle, you guys had three guys hurt in practice last week. I got a new concept that I think maybe we could introduce this week. What do you think of a walkthrough? How about a walkthrough?
Let's talk about football. Let's have a real good conversation today about football and learn some things on a chalkboard instead of going out and hurting. What is he guys got doing Oklahoma drills without helmets?
Let's go with a walkthrough. PWS, how about the final 2 minutes of that Hoosier game?
It's a drive that's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to go 95 yards, length of the field, no timeouts, all the pressure in the world on an undefeated season and a Heisman campaign. We're on the very first play of the drive to get buried for a 7-yard loss with a sack.
You know, is it that Danny Stutton guy? Penn State's got a 275-270-pound defensive end named Danny Sutton. He's like, I think his name's like Dennis Danny Sutton or something like that. It's like a hyphenated last name. He's awesome, man. He's awesome. And he was getting after Mendoza at times in this game. But, man, Indiana's just – they're really, really good. The back is good. Emmett, whatever, the receivers are good. The receiver was hurt, right?
Surratt hasn't played Surratt in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been hurt. So that they're doing it anyway. Mendoza's really stepping up. I had no idea he was this good when he was at Cal.
Did you see the greatest pregame interview ever? The sideline reporters asking Cignetti, what's most concerning to you about Penn State? He said, there's no time for concern. It's time to go play fast. The time for concern is over. It's game day.
Yeah, it's a great answer. Great answer. 49er fan for life. We could have paid Brock after seeing what he did this year. Kyle not taking Mac was a huge mess up. Nolan passing up on Rodgers, and this might be just as bad. Kid dying before the parent. Just sad. Yeah.
There's you're tacking on some real life stuff to just football there that makes it land a little funny, but yeah.
Yeah. Javid says, why waste a pick on trade deadline day when you can simply waste them on actual draft day? Poor drafting has come home to bite us in the posterior. Yes. Well, guess what? You can hit, you know, we can celebrate the hits, but you know what? At the end of the day, you got to judge them against the misses. And unfortunately, there's a lot of misses.
Right.
Carson Taylor said,
it's like a betting service that only wants to tell you about their wins.
Right. Or your buddy who tells you about his wins, but then he needs to borrow money because his losses. Carson Taylor, didn't Kyle get hired based on his outside zone run scheme and deep ball with a MVP Matt Ryan and Julio Jones? If we're never really had a quarterback that can throw a good deep ball, but Kyle refuses to take shots, in my opinion.
I don't think he's got wide receivers to take shots with. These guys do nothing to separate. They do nothing to get open downfield.
Jennings, Bourne, I mean, which of these guys is the downfield threat?
You know who my favorite wide receiver is?
Who?
Jacob Cowing. This guy's the best. I'm so glad that they've invested all this time and attention in him.
He's great in college.
Oh, but it's really paid off.
Yeah. he just can't get healthy, and they don't even update us anymore on him. Carson Taylor didn't. Okay, we got that one. Okay, let's get this one. Wait, let's go this one. Stefan, that performance was embarrassing. D seems to be regressing, and Brendel should not have been back starting. Yeah, I mean, D Winters doesn't wrap up. He just hits with the shoulder. He doesn't wrap. Barry Ford, bang, bang from Memphis. I'm good with Mac finishing the season. Kyle really needs to let Brock heal. Turf toe is a bitch to get back to 100% from. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like the only thing worse than this year going the way it would go is if somehow there was some long-term injury because of how they dealt with the turf toe. You know, Jones is playing well enough at this point. You know, is Purdy going to play as well? Maybe. I don't think he's going to play a whole lot better than this. So why not just let him get the surgery and get on with it? You know, I mean.
But here's the thing. You don't want to have surgery if you don't need the surgery. A natural healing process is always the choice to make over invasive surgery. You can buy this man another month with a bye week built in.
Well, I mean, you definitely do that.
5 weeks of rest on a turf toe. Still, that sounds like the right thing to do to me, especially with Mac just playing great.
Well, my thing would be like, hey, if it really is turf toe, then maybe he shouldn't. Maybe instead of just practicing for 5 weeks, he should not practice for 5 weeks.
Yes, sit him down. Again, this will be covered in the what the fuck question that you're going to open with this week for Kyle.
Barry Ford says, bang, bang from Memphis. I'm good with Mac. Okay, we got that one. We got this one from Dale. He says, can we just remember that Purdy was playing through all the injuries just like Mac is now? My point is, can he take all those hits 3 years like Brock? Can Mac take the hits? You know, I don't know.
Look, both these guys are tough. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubting the toughness of either guy.
Yeah, I mean, no question. Purdy was playing hurt before. Thomas Selman, do y'all think we win 3 of 4?
Of your next 3 of 4, I do.
Give me the matchups again.
At Arizona, Carolina on Monday Night Football. At Cleveland versus Tennessee. I think they beat Arizona. They beat Cleveland. They
should win all those games.
Beat Carolina. Their loss, maybe if it comes here, it comes against Cleveland. They win against Tennessee. 3-1 is doable. 4-0 is out there. And if they go 4-0, they're at 10 wins. So.
Here's the thing. I know they looked bad yesterday against Seattle, but guess who also looked bad against Seattle? Houston.
Yeah.
You know? So I would say next week is going to be a tough game to win against Arizona.
It will
even
be.
Though it'll be, it'll I do, be because Brissett's playing well, and if you don't pressure him, he's got Harrison, and can you guard Harrison Jr.? Probably not. So, I mean, yeah, I think this is a tough game. Carson Taylor, be real, guys. Texas Tech is going to shit on A&M. And in Indiana, and also we might as well line up Nick Martin at edge so we have no expectations. Texas Tech has got a really good defensive line. They are absolutely not going to beat A&M. A&M's offensive line is absolutely the equal of Texas Tech's defensive line. Carson, let's wager. Let's wager. Claudaddy Arcades. LK, what city we headed to for the playoffs? Oh, wait, are we going to the playoffs? Claudaddy Arcades sent us, and he's a great follow on Instagram, @claw_daddy_arcades. Claudaddy Arcades is one of our sponsors who sent us to the Big Easy for week 2. And we had a phenomenal time in New Orleans, and I thought that was maybe the trip of the year. Really good time, and thank you for that, Claudaddy. And Claudaddy is, you know, I don't know where we're going in the playoffs, Claudetti. I'd love to travel in the playoffs. I heard that you might be up for that, so we can discuss it. But where would the Niners go in the playoffs? Seattle. Now, going into this game, the Niners were the 6th seed, and they would have played on the road in Seattle against the Seahawks, the 3 seed.
Hey, so, big game tonight, right? I mean, you got Packers and Eagles tonight. Who wins that game will go a long way to maybe determining the path. Where's
Green Bay?
In Green Bay?
Probably Green Bay.
I think Green Bay, yeah.
Yeah, Green Bay. I think Green Bay gets it done tonight. But I don't know exactly how close it's going to be. That's going to be a good game. That's going to be a good game. I'll watch that later. Hey, all right. That's going to do it for us. Yeah. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. And of course, Thanks to Sleeper for sponsoring this entire season on the Krug Show. The links are in the description for all of my sponsors, Damon's as well. And Damon, I'll give you the final word.
Yeah, just want to say thanks to everyone. It was a frustrating weekend for sure, but all you had to do is look at the NFL and realize that just being the same team 2 weeks in a row is a hard thing to do in this league right now. Hopefully it doesn't get much worse than that. How could it? Uninjured. I guess we can celebrate that. This is the first time the 49ers came out of a game without an injury, so huzzah. There you go.
No, wait. There was an injury. My eyeballs were hurt by that defensive performance.